too many times. Hey, I just want to talk about DBICC for a second. Someone was asking me the other day about the church. Hey, how are things going at the church? You've been there for a little while now. What do you think? And I started to tell them about you. And it was fun. We talked about fun last week. I was having fun talking about DBICC. And so I just want to brag on you for a minute. And so I think it's so cool that you bring people with you, like you bring friends. It's just, so I've been to churches before where I've not wanted to bring people, right? Like I go to this church, but don't come, right? And so it's so fun that you're excited about what's happening here and you're bringing friends with you. You know, one of the things is, you know, whenever you have parents or, you know, relatives come to visit, do you bring them to church or not? You know, so it's fun to see you bringing your friends and your relatives with you. It's also exciting, I'm able to tell people about how you serve. And so we've got so many people like right here. Yesterday, people were working. The day before that, people were working. The day before that. And so people are always just doing stuff. People are over here taking care of the children. They're back there taking care of the children. People are over here setting up. I mean, there's all these things happening during the week and even during the services. And many of you are the ones who've rolled up your sleeves and gotten your hands dirty doing things. And so thank you for serving. Thank you for helping. It makes a huge difference. Thank you for giving. I don't know if you noticed, but if you'll take your bulletin out, in the bulletin, we have the update from the end of the year financial stuff, right? Did you see this? Did you see how cool this is, right? You're like, Danny, don't talk about it. Nobody's going to give anything for a long time. No, look at this. We're going to celebrate, right? So here it is. So this is for 2018, 2019, right? We just finished at the end of March. Total collections, $3 million a little bit, right? Total expenses, $2 million and something, which means there's a surplus of $323,960. You gave more than we had to have. Can you give yourselves a hand for that? Thank you. Praise God for people who are generous, people who are giving to God. I know you're not giving to me. You're not giving to DBICC, really. Hopefully, we'll talk about finances in a few weeks. But the idea is I'm giving this to God. And so I'm thankful for people who are faithful. You know how it is in your own family, right? When money's tight, you're thinking about it a lot, right? And so instead of thinking about these other things, you're worried about money. And so it's nice to not have to think about, oh no, are we going to be able to make it next week? And it frees up our hearts and our minds to think, okay, what is God doing and how does God want us to use this that he's blessed us with to do more, to go beyond? And so thank you, good job, very nice. And then one more thing I want to say that was really cool, I'm excited about, and this is just last night, we had concert of prayer and we had, I think, 12 people in the new office just circled around, just going to the throne of God and praying. Praying for you, praying for marriages, praying for parenting, praying for so many things. Thanking him, adoring him, but then just praying for our community and for our church. And I believe if God is going to break out, like we hope he will, from our church and in our community and in our city and around the world, it will be from people on their knees. And that's what we had last night, people praying. And so I'm pumped, I'm excited about DBICC. So thank you for being such a great family, a great church. And man, it's fun to be a part of what God is doing here. So we're taking a one-week break from our Elite Life series to do one called Send Me. This message is called Send Me. Several years ago, I was around some other preachers, and this one guy did a good job. He said, you know, whenever you get up and you say, hey, we need people to help with this and people to help with that, if you just make announcements, people are like, okay, cool. He said, but if you preach the announcements, that makes a difference. And he gave an example. And so today I'm going to preach about serving. I'm going to preach about it, and so then you can understand, okay, this is why. So next Sunday is our plug-in fair. Can we get back to that? I have the control. Let's see. Is there a way to get back? Let me see if I can try to get back to that. Look at that. Isn't that a cool graphic? Because we're just different, aren't we? I mean, we're just different people. You got some old school people, right? Some new school people. And I don't even know what some of that other stuff is, right? But that's good. We need some of that. I don't know what it is. Because God knows, and he knows what's coming, you know? So just, it's just fun to see God at work. You know, today we're supposed to have baptism. But all four of the people who were going to be baptized, something came up. So we're like, okay, we're going to baptize nobody today. But then I was talking with someone else, and they said, you know, I was praying, and that's an answer for me. Like, okay, well, good. We just don't know what God is up to. And so it's fun to look at the diversity that we have in our church and say, okay, God has made the body with different parts to serve in different ways. And so I'm excited to see what God's going to do as we look at this idea of, okay, how do we plug in? And so the idea today is to talk about the motivation behind it. Not just, hey, we need help, so please help us because we need help. No. What's the motivation? Why would you be excited? So if you have a Bible, I hope you have one, on your phone or maybe a hard copy, open to Isaiah chapter 6. I love this passage, Isaiah chapter 6. And so here we see an incredible story of a guy as he has an encounter with God, and we see what comes through that. And so Isaiah chapter 6, we're talking obviously about the prophet Isaiah and what happens with him. So Isaiah 6, you've heard this verse before most likely, but here we go. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Let me pray. I was thinking maybe I should pray. No, I shouldn't. Maybe I should. Holy Spirit says pray, so we'll pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit that's truly our teacher. And so we depend on you this morning, Holy Spirit. I depend on you. Nobody needs anything from me. I have nothing but you. We all need you, and we have you. And so, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. I pray as we read this precious gift of your word that you will speak to us, each one of us, as each of us needs to hear from you. And so we invite our hearts to be receptive to your presence that's already here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And so we're going to walk through this passage here. And so in the year King Uzziah died, what does that mean? Well, Uzziah was the king of Judah for 52 years. I mean, that's a long time for a guy to be in charge, right? And then he was 16 whenever he became the king. And so he's what, 68 years old, right? And so this guy, he's pushing 70 when he passes away, but most of the people who are alive and in the kingdom, the only king they've ever known is King Uzziah, including Isaiah. And so Isaiah's like, in the year that Uzziah died, this one guy who was the rock, and man, whenever Uzziah was king, he made some great things happen in Judah. I mean, he increased their strength. Everybody around was like, whoa, watch out for Israel, watch out for Judah. They're tough. They're paying tribute. And so this guy was great, and then he dies. And so Isaiah's like, oh no, what are we going to do? You know, you have these transition moments in your life, and that's what was happening for Isaiah. So in this year that King Uzziah died, something happens. I saw the Lord, it says, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one called to the another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. So what is happening here? Well, Isaiah is having what we call a sighting. Here's the sighting. He sees the Lord. It says, I saw the Lord. And look at how it describes. It says, he's high and lifted up. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe fills the temple. Above him stood seraphim, right? So we go through this. And so you imagine Isaiah, and he goes into this sanctuary. I don't know if it's a dream or a vision, but he goes in and he sees, whoa, he sees the Lord. And we'll see what it does to him in just a second. But I want us to zoom in a little bit and see what he uses to describe his encounter with the Lord. Okay? Let's just be real practical and see how he describes the Lord. All right? So he says, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. So he sees the throne. The throne is high and lifted up. And then what's he talk about next? What does he talk about? The train of his robe. Interesting. All right. The train of his robe fills the temple. And what does he talk about next? Above him, the seraphim, right? He talks about the angels. And he spends quite a bit of time talking about these amazing creatures that have these six wings, two over and two under and two flying. Like, whoa. Right. And then he talks about what? What they're saying to each other. says, one of them says to the other one, the angels are speaking to each other. What do they say? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Look at verse 4. The foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. Who was calling? Is God calling? It's the angel. The angels were talking to each other. And when the angel is talking, the ground shakes. Oh. These are the angels that are impressing him. I want you to see what's happening. What does he say specifically about how the Lord looks? Nothing. He doesn't describe the appearance of the Lord. He describes the throne, where it is, the train, the smoke, all these things, but nothing about God himself. Why? Why doesn't he? Let's look at another place. This is fun. I like this. This is fun for me. All right, go with me for a minute. It's not very fulfilling maybe for you, but it's fulfilling for me. Okay, go back to Exodus chapter 24, if you can get there quickly. Exodus chapter 24, look at verse 9. And so what's happening here, you have Moses at Sinai, right? And so God's presence has come down on the mountain, and there's this fire and earthquake, and everybody's like, wow, that's a really big God, right? And Moses is like, I'm going to go see him. Like, no. Yes, okay. So he goes up, but then he says, bring these guys with you. And come up and let's have dinner together. So these guys are really brave. And so in Exodus chapter 24, verse 9, look what's happening. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, his two sons, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up and they saw the God of Israel. Listen to how they describe him. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. Did they describe the Lord? What did they do? They described the ground underneath him. Right? Do you see what's happening? Isn't this the grace of God in motion? Have you ever had somebody that you were talking to and you're like, look me in the eyes? You ever had that? Anybody ever done that before? Sometimes that's not the best move, by the way, right? That really messes them up, okay? They can't handle it, or they would have. Look me in the eyes, right? Here's what's happening here. People come into God's presence and he's saying, don't look me in the eyes. Look up here, look down here, look around, because if you look me in the eyes, you can't handle this. You can't handle it. In fact, it says in Exodus 24 there, he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people, even though they were there, and they beheld him, and they ate and they drank. I don't know exactly what happened. I wasn't there, but in two places now, when someone encounters God, their eyes are diverted to all these things around him, and they're amazed by the surroundings of God, the grace of God. So even when they come into his presence, the things around him are so impressive that it does something to them. Let's look at that now. Let's see what happens. Even when they see the things around God, much less look directly at him, what happens? There's this sorrow. Look back at Isaiah chapter 6 again. Verse 5, he says, and I said, after seeing all this, I said, woe is me. Well, that's a strange response. You're getting to see God. Why are you sad? Woe is me. And he answers, for I am lost. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And so this encounter with the holy God and seeing these servants around him and the glory and the train and the earth, all these things just says, oh, wow, he's amazing, and I'm disqualified from being here. I shouldn't be here. And he's specific about why. He says, because I have unclean lips. There's a specific sin that he's aware of, that it's brought to his attention. This problem I have. I have unclean lips, and not just me, but everybody around me. I live among a people of unclean lips. And yet, I've encountered this one who's holy and who's righteous and who's amazing. And this is not going to go well. And so there's this sorrow that happens now that he's encountered God. Oh, okay. But then look what happens next. Something really amazing. Verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. And so now we have the solution. The solution. Isaiah says, wow, you're amazing. I'm in trouble because I have sin. But then God provides a way. And for Isaiah, it was a burning coal from the altar on his lips. Anybody want to sign up for that? That sounds fun. Yes. No, but we don't hear anything bad. In fact, it ends up being a great thing. It takes away his iniquity. Your guilt, your sin has been atoned for. And so God provides a solution. It's true. He was not okay. And God didn't say, it's okay that your lips are unclean. It's okay. He doesn't say that. He provides a solution for the uncleanness. The uncleanness is burned away. And we have to remember, it's not just that God just lets anybody come like they are. He's provided a solution. He's provided a solution. So that's how we're able to encounter him and live with, dwell with him and be okay. Okay, and so now he's okay. The coal has cleansed away his dirty, guilty lips. So now what do we see next? And I heard the voice of the Lord. I heard the voice of the Lord. Now, is this the first time the Lord was speaking? We don't know. That's the first time he's able to hear it. Because now he's had the solution applied to his life. And so now he can hear what's happening. So I heard the voice of the Lord. What's he saying? He's saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And so now that the solution has been applied to him, we see this synchronization. Forgive me, I don't know why I was in a kick for S's as I was going through, all right? But there's this synchronization. It's okay, I'm going to lock into what God is doing. I'm going to hear and understand what he is doing. I'm going to hear his heart and his thoughts. Now he's getting in line with what God is thinking about. And isn't that what we need? You see, after we've had the solution applied to our life, the next step is to say, okay, God, what are you doing? And we have a chance to understand and to lean on and stand on his way and not just ours. And so what is the Lord saying, though? The Lord is saying, whom shall I send? He's looking for someone to send. Who will go for us? And so God's heart that Isaiah picks up, God's heart is, I need someone to go. I need someone to send. There's a need, and I need somebody to go. He doesn't say, Isaiah, will you go? He says, I want someone. And so Isaiah now hears the heart of God, and he syncs up. He's locked in and hearing and connected with what God is wanting. God wants someone. God wants someone to be willing to go. So then what happens? We know this verse. Then I said, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Me. The question wasn't directed to Isaiah, but he said, I'll do it. I know your heart, and so because that's your heart, I want to be a part of that. I see what you're doing, and I want in. I want in. Send me. And so there's this sacrifice where Isaiah says, everything else, I don't care about that. This is the thing I'm interested in. Send me. Whatever you want, that's what I want. And it's a sacrifice. He's giving up something. We don't obviously know all the details. But he says, send me. Sign me up. And so here's this whole progression. Let's look at it again. So we start off with deciding. We see God and we are encountering him. And by the way, that's our goal every Sunday. As we've talked about it with the worship team, the people who are pulling this together, our goal is to have people who come to worship to see God. And the way we talk about it is that people would have an encounter with him. That they would have an encounter with him. And so he sees God. And then when he sees God, there's this sorrow. Did you know that the first work in our hearts of the Holy Spirit is conviction? When we see God, the Holy Spirit says, he's amazing and you're not. Conviction is a blessing. It's a blessing to have this concern. Oh no, I'm not okay. And so he sees God and then he has sorrow. Woe is me. And then God provides the solution. All three of those are what we call at DBICC, connect. Connect. You see him, and then there's a choice that you make. You either respond with sorrow and awareness of where you are versus where he is, Or you just say, okay, I don't care, and you walk away. And by the way, that happens. People will see God. People will hear about him. They'll be in his presence and just say, oh, well, cool for you, I'm out. And sometimes that makes me sad, like, okay, what am I doing wrong? What if I just, you know, change a few things? But then I'm encouraged to know that Jesus, this happened to Jesus himself. People would come to Jesus and say, hey, what do you think? And he'd tell them an answer, and they didn't like it. And they would leave. And Jesus let them go. So just having the siding alone doesn't always lead to sorrow. The Holy Spirit has to bring us to that place. And then we have to respond in humility and not try to answer it on our own. So there's sorrow that follows the siding. And then the solution, Jesus, the blood of Jesus. You see, we can't connect with God until all these things happen. We see him, there's conviction of sin, and then salvation happens. The solution has to be applied. This is connecting with God. And I believe many of you in the room have done this. You've walked through this. And so every Sunday when we come together again and his presence is powerful, we walk through that cycle again. And we're like, whoa, I see God and I remember the things I've done the last week, the last few days. And Jesus, thank you for the solution. Thank you. And so we have this connection. But then this next part, synchronization, this is what we call grow. We grow to know the heart of God. We grow to understand what he is doing. And we begin to shift our own thinking to match his thinking. We're syncing up with him instead of asking God to sync up with us, right? How many times have we done this? God, I got a great plan. Will you just come and kind of put some of your God dust powder magic stuff on my plans here, please? Just sprinkle some of that on here because we want to fly, right? So pixie dust, whatever you want to call that, God, just put that on my plans because these are really good plans, please. You know, praise you, but this is good. He's like, no. I have good plans. You sync up with me. It's called growing. We grow, but we connect with his heart. And we help each other in this journey. But sometimes we need someone else to say, hey, what are you doing? That's crazy. Have you ever had someone who's done that for you, who's loved you enough to elbow you and say, what are you doing? Raise your hand. Be honest. Aren't you thankful for those people who love you enough to say, hey, right? So sometimes that's our role with someone else. Hey, I love you, but let's fix this. So synchronization, we're lining up with what God wants. And then this last part, the sacrifice. Where once we see what he's doing and we understand where he's headed, then we have another choice to make. That's what we're talking about with this whole Elite Life series, is to bring all of this under his control and make the sacrifices needed. Say, okay, I thought this was better, but you're saying this, I'm going to go with your way and not mine. I'm going to go with what you want and not what I think I want. And so we make sacrifices. We connect with him. We grow to know his heart. And then, like Isaiah, we say, you know what? Here am I. Send me. You know what's so cool about the Isaiah encounter? A lot of time is spent here talking about the seraphim, right? They're flying, they got these wings, they're doing this, they're saying this to each other, the foundations are being shaken by what the seraphim are doing. So you see what happened is these servants were part of Isaiah's siding. Does that make sense? In their sacrifice of praise, Isaiah had his siding. Do you see where we're headed with this? As we serve God, as we're a part of his work, someone else will see us serving him, and that will be how they see him. Looks like this. You walk into D.C., and somebody at the front door, maybe it's Danica, usually for most of us it's Danica, says, good morning, like the seraphim. And then you come around the corner, and someone shakes your hand and says, hey, it's so good to see you. And the ground shakes a little bit. And then after it's over, you go out and somebody has a cookie. And that's saying to you, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Do you see how these things play in? You never know. You never know how something that looks small to you, it seems like a small sacrifice to you, could be a huge God moment for someone else. Our going becomes a way for someone else to connect. This is why we do it. This is why we serve, because we don't know what God is doing. Whenever he says, I need to send somebody, we say, send me. He says, thank you, because I need to show someone else. Someone else is going to say, I saw the Lord, because we were willing to say, send me. This is how it works. It's so fun whenever we begin to be a part of this amazing process that God is weaving and working and putting together. It's fun. It's exciting. So many of you have already connected with God, and you know him. You've been through the siding and the sorrow, and the solution of Jesus' blood has been applied to your life, and you're his child. You're part of the family of God. And so now the question is, can we sync up? Can we hear what God is doing and line up with his heart and then be willing to say, yes, send me? And so here's the question. As we think about how we can sync up with him, what is the heart of God? DBICC, what is the heart of God? It's 2019, May already. Wow. Mother's Day. Yeah. What's the heart of God today? You know, I think it's safe to say that, like he said back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the heart hasn't changed. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is telling his disciples before he leaves, he says, you know what? You're going to receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. This is when we get the power, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then what will that power enable us to do? You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses. That power enables us to be witnesses. So someone else can have a sighting. So we can go. You'll be witnesses for me. Where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. This is the heart of God, for his people to receive his power and to go. To be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Now, I've heard people say, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, end of the earth, that was actually literal. Like, he wants it to be in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth, and from that order. And I think there's something really cool about that, because if the Jews are excited about their Messiah, who's going to slow that down, right? But I think it's safe to say that he's talking about these circles of influence. And so for us, our Jerusalem wouldn't be over in Israel. Our Jerusalem is Discovery Bay. And so this idea of his spirit falling on us, and so we can be his witnesses in these places. And so his power comes by his spirit for us to be witnesses in these places, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And so what do those translate to for us? Discovery Bay, Hong Kong, Southeast Asia, and thankfully the ends of the earth hasn't changed, right? So we're still just earth, not going to Mars or anywhere else that we know of. So the ends of the earth, that's where the gospel needs to go. These places have stayed the same. And so what is God's heart for these places? You know, when you look at, we'll start with the last one, the end of the earth. When you look at the map of the world, it's a pretty cool thing. It's a pretty amazing place. But there's so many places where the gospel has not gone. And the light, even in the 21st century, the light has not shone into the darkness. And so what's God's heart? He still desires for people to hear his name and to hear how people can, for people to hear how they can be saved through the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice that he gave. And so his heart is that people all over the world, the whole world, would hear. That hasn't changed. And there are some great things happening all over the world. And I'm excited about ways that we can be a part of that. And so I don't know what God is calling us to this morning, what he's calling you to specifically, but I believe our church needs to be a part of answering the call to the ends of the earth. There are some unreached people groups, and we know of a couple. There's some people who come to our church. We kindly call them Harry and Mary, just to keep them from getting in trouble. And so they're working with an unreached people group just not too far away. And there's another one I heard about just recently over on the border of our country and the next country over there. And is that big enough for you, right? But some people that haven't heard the name of Jesus yet. And so how can we help with that? We know of people in our church who are a part of some amazing ministries, really cool ministries. They're doing some great stuff. How can we be a part of that? How can we support? Not just, hey, good job, right? Or here's some money, which all those are great things. But okay, what's the next step? How can we, like boots on the ground, help make this happen? And so, hey, the end of the earth, still there. The next area, come back to Samaria. Samaria, a little bit closer, Southeast Asia. In talking with some of our elders, you know, we were talking about the amount of suffering and tragic things happening in this little window, right? there are some really difficult things happening, obviously all around the world, but man, in this zone, a lot of just crazy stuff. The gospel, the good news, the light needs to penetrate this dark area, right? So how can we be a part of that? What is God doing? And again, we know of some things, but how can we do more? And as a church, as we're looking at the budgets and thinking about these things, okay, when there's something extra, can we send it, or can we have a person? Maybe God would call someone specifically, hey, I'm going to be a part of this ministry because the needs are so great. But you know where there's great need, there's great potential. And some amazing things are happening also. So let's celebrate and encourage that. The next map here. I love maps. And so I'll show you a few maps. Hong Kong. You know, there's quite a few churches here. But man, again, as I've said before, when I get on the MTR, I'm just thinking, man, how many of these people that are crowding all around me, how many of them know Jesus? How many of them are destined for heaven versus not? So there's a lot of work to do here, but the great news is there are lots of people to partner with. We're part of a denomination that's doing some great stuff. There are other churches we can partner with and ministries that are doing some really fun, creative ministry. How do we jump in with that? And these are the questions that we need to be praying about. Okay, God, show us your heart, and we'll go. Send me. And then here's our Jerusalem. Such a funny little village, right? About 20,000 people, right? Right here. No airplane trip needed. No visa needed. Well, you do have to have a visa to stay, but we're here. They're next door to us. They're above us. Sometimes that's not fun, right? They're below us. We ride on the bus with them often. They're here. And God is saying, who will I send? Who will go for us? And as a church, man, this is us right here. Discovery Bay, these people that God's put right in our path. You know, a lot of families here, a lot of expats. And God's put us here. He's given us the gifts that we need to make the difference he wants us to make right here. The pieces are here if we will say, send me. So what really is the goal? What are we shooting for, Danny? What are you thinking? What's God want? What's his heart? And I believe God's heart is just as simple as this right here. I think God wants to start a fire. I know fires are dangerous, and so kids, please don't go play with matches. That's not what I'm saying, okay? Bad. Playing with matches, not a good idea. The fire of God falling, really good idea. And I believe that's his heart. His heart is to start a fire, this raging fire of his presence and his goodness and his love and his forgiveness and his life pouring into and through us to our surroundings. Our Jerusalem, Discovery Bay, our Judea, Hong Kong, our Samaria, Southeast Asia, the end of the earth. God can use us to touch someone that we don't even know exists if we'll jump in and go with what he's doing. Okay, so how does this happen? Well, fires start in one of two ways, as far as I know. There may be another way, but I think it's one of two ways. One is accidentally, and the other is intentionally. I think that covers them all, okay? So some of them don't, no one's trying to start them, it just happens. So how does that work? Well, you know, a lightning strike or, you know, something natural, and there's these fires that break out. No person intentionally did that, right? So some fires break out and you didn't even know it was happening. And so here's what I would say. As a church, we're praying. Lord, start a fire. Lord, let your presence fall. Let people come to know you and see you and have an encounter with you and then connect with you in relationship. Lord, we want to see it happen. And we don't care how you do it. So sometimes we've seen in history that a fire, the move of God would happen in a way that nobody was actually trying to make it happen. But God just moved and he surprised everyone. And so if God wants to move in that way, we're praying, bring it. Yes. Start the fire however you want to. But there's another way that fires start, and that is intentionally. That's where people get the different pieces, and they have it ready. So that as soon as a spark is there, the fire can go. Right? And so if you've built fires, you know you got to have the tinder. This is the stuff that catches flame very quickly. And then you can start the kindling from the tinder, and then you have the bigger stuff. And then you do this. You light it. You stack it, and bam, there's this big fire. So this is one that's intentional. And so as a church, we are trying to do our very best to arrange things so that when the fire of God falls, it just catches and goes. We're trying to do a good job of organizing all the different pieces of what happens. And so it's not just, oh, God came today. It's like, no, we were praying for that. Oh, the Lord moved through the music. Well, they practiced for that. Oh, God moved through the classes. Well, we prepared. And so we're trying to put all the different pieces together. And for that to happen, obviously, God needs to use the pieces he's put here. And that's you. And that's me. Am I going to be the tinder or the kindling or the fuel wood? I don't know. But God knows, and he's speaking to you. So in your bulletin, you have this little card here. And it talks about some of the different things that are happening in the church. Some of the different roles, some of the different responsibilities that we believe will help start the fire of God's presence moving all around. And so we're not asking you to fill this out today and to turn it in today, to make a commitment. But we are asking you to take it home and look it over and pray over this thing. Also, I want you to know, so next Sunday, maybe you'll turn this in, maybe you'll go and sign up on one of the clipboards for one or two or 17 of these positions. But that would be too many, by the way. But you could sign up for 17 if you want, because if you're signing up, that doesn't mean you're committing the rest of your life to this, okay? So let me explain a little bit. What we're trying to do with the plug-in fair and giving people a chance to serve is finding out interest, okay? So if you sign up, you're saying, I'm interested. That's very different from saying, I commit to it, right? Okay, so I'm trying to help this be easy for you, and then we'll contact you and say, hey, here's the next step. So this just says, I'm interested. You're also not saying, I'm going to do this next week. Although if you want to, we could probably figure that out. But what we're saying is we want to begin now to prepare for the next school term. Okay, so we're trying to get ready for August and September. And so if you say, I'm interested, that gives us time to talk with you, to give you some training, to get you orientated and so on. So whenever we come back after the summer break, you're ready to go. Okay, so that's what we're looking for people who will say, I'm interested and helping out with the next round after we get back from July summer break. That's what we're asking for. So please take this home with you and pray through it. If you're not going to be here next week and you already know of something you want to do, obviously turn that in. Some of you are already serving in some of these roles. I've already had someone say, oh, does this mean we don't have to do our stuff anymore? I would say no, but I'll say listen to God, okay? You listen to him. Seriously, if we will listen to him, he will guide us to the right place. And so I'm not going to take the time to walk through all of these. You can read, all right? And if you have interest in that, you can tick the box, check the box, and we'll get back with you. So please be praying about how you can go, how you can be a part of what God is doing. We believe that God wants to start a fire. He wants to do an amazing thing. And for us to have other people be able to say, I saw the Lord. And for that to happen, we have to have people who are willing to say, send me. I'll do it. And it seems simple, but it may play a huge role in someone else seeing God. Someone else taking that next step in their relationship with him. So please pray and seek God. I'm excited about what he's going to do in and through us as we prepare and get ready and have our hearts ready for the fire I believe he wants to bring in us and through us to the people around. So we have this. For those of you who have connected with God and you're growing and figuring out more of how he wants to use you, how he's gifted you, man, figure out how you can go, how you can not just connect and grow, but how you can go, how you can serve. But some of you in the room today, you haven't yet connected. And so if you go back to the siding and the sorrow and the solution, you're still somewhere in there. Maybe you've seen him, but you're still not sure. Maybe the sorrow hasn't come. Or maybe today, for the first time, you feel something. And the Holy Spirit's saying, hey. So you have that sorrow. And so I encourage you, if that's you today, receive the solution. His name is Jesus Christ. Receive it. He's not going to take a coal and burn your lips, okay? That's good news. He's going to do something better. The blood that he shed when he died for you, he will apply to your heart. And all the sins you've ever committed, all the sins you ever will commit, will be washed away. If you'll trust in Jesus, he is your Savior, if you will allow him to be your Savior. So maybe you need to receive that solution, that salvation today. Let me just pray over you. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, thank you for your glory, for the majesty that we can't even handle looking at. We can't handle seeing because it will kill us. But I thank you that you love us and you do reveal yourself to us in so many different ways. And the purpose is so we can be in relationship with you. You're not trying to make us bad, beat down servants. You want to call us in to be your children. We get to call you Father. You're calling us into relationship. And so I pray for those today who are not yet your children, that today they would say yes to the salvation that Jesus offers. That they would receive the gift Jesus has given. Lord, maybe we are saved, but we need to sync up with you. We need to reconnect with your heart. So Holy Spirit, will you move? Help us to see the next step. Help us to have the courage to take that step. And what I believe you're calling many, all of us, to how we can be a part of your work. And so may we be willing to raise our hand. When we hear what you're doing, say, yes, send me. So I pray this over all of us, Lord, that you would work in our hearts and that we would have the joy, the privilege of sacrificing this little bit that you've given us for something so much bigger. And that people will see you through us. That miracle can happen. Imperfect as we are, they can see you through us. So thank you, Lord. And I pray that you will work in our hearts. Help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so today is a special day, and we want to take just a minute or two and recognize some special people, and that is our mothers. And so today is Mother's Day. Can we give a hand to our mothers? Good job, mothers. So we have just a very small gift, a very small good job, mom, gift for you. I believe we have some flowers. And so if you're one of the ones who's going to help pass out flowers at this time, if you would go over this way, and Evelyn's going to give you those. So what we're going to do in just a minute is ask the moms to stand. Not yet, but we'll ask the moms to stand, and we'll come and we'll pass out flowers. Just a little small thank you, congratulations. Now, I want to say we recognize that Mother's Day is not fun for everyone. In fact, I know people very close to me who have really struggled with Mother's Day. And so whether it's because your relationship with your mom is not great, or whether your mom has passed away and so there's sorrow there, or maybe you want to have children, you haven't been able, all these different things that would make this a difficult day. So we are apparently, if you're a mother, please stand at this time. Mothers, please stand. We're going to pass these out to you. Lots of moms. Okay. Go on and pass those out. After you have your flower, feel free to sit back down. We won't make you stand up all day here, so feel free to sit down after you have yours. Right here, there's a couple right here. Stand up. Yeah, stand up. Thank you. Elizabeth. No, please stand up. We got two right here. Thank you. You can sit down. After you have your flower, feel free to sit down. Addie, there's some more here. Yeah. Having to work hard for that flower, aren't you, ladies? Thank you for being patient. Thank you for standing. Elizabeth. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. There we go. Thank you. There we go. So as I said a second ago, Mother's Day may be painful. The Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And so if today's a difficult day, we just want you to know we feel the difficulty. And we also celebrate with those who are moms. And we think about all the different jobs a mother has. And I was just writing down a few of them this morning. Sometimes a mother has to be a referee, right? For this crazy game of life that's happening. Maybe the mother has to be a counselor sometimes, or the mom has to be a prayer warrior. Sometimes you play the role of educator. Sometimes you play the role of doctor, right? Maybe you're the encourager. Maybe you have to cook. Maybe you're a cheerleader. Maybe you're the maid, you feel like. Maybe you're a friend. Maybe you're a negotiator. All these different roles that moms have to play. And man, just having watched my wife as we have welcomed three children to the world, man, being a mom is not an easy road to walk. And maybe not just becoming a mom with childbirth, but being a mom every day. And so maybe some of you are in the middle of mom and it's like, oh, wow, I thought I really wanted this, but ouch. It's a gut shot, right? Like, oh, this is tough. And you're happy, but you're not sure. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. And so we appreciate you. We celebrate you. We're thankful to God. All of us have a mom. I feel pretty confident saying that. Here's the good news. My mom is asleep on Saturday, so I can still get a hold of her, right? Because we're on the East Coast, if you forgot that it's Mother's Day, you still have time, right? And so you can call, you can send an email, you can send flowers, whatever, right? You can do something for your mom, whatever part of the world that they're in. But I encourage you, get a hold of mom and just express your thanks, your gratitude, if you can, obviously. Get a hold of them and just say, I'm thankful for you. And bless them a little bit for the blessing they've been to you. Let me just pray over the moms now. And so moms, I'm going to ask you if you would go ahead and stand again. I know you stood up once. Let me just pray. You're not alone. Look at all these people around you. It'll be okay. Can we say thanks to God again for the moms? Yes, thank you. Can I just pray over you? Father, I thank you for the blessing of mothers. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And Jesus, you know about a mom. You had a mom. You have a mom. And so we thank you for this gift, this amazing whole set of characteristics and traits we see of you that come through mothers, that you have passed on to us through mothers. And so I pray blessing, I pray encouragement, I pray wisdom, I pray strength, I pray energy, I pray rest, I pray healing. Lord, I pray just your power to flow through. I pray for the goodness of God to be passed along to the children, to the people around, the grandchildren. So, Lord, I pray that you would use these amazing women to make a difference. They say the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And so I pray that you will help them to be encouraged in the role that they have, the role that they have had. And so help them to continue, Father, in your strength. And Lord, we want to pray for those that today have pain, some kind of pain, surrounding Mother's Day. And so whether it's a physical thing, wanting to have children and struggling with that, or a disconnect with a relationship with a mother, or a mother who's passed away and the sorrow that's involved, or something else, whatever that pain is, I just ask for you to be the healer. Yahweh Rapha, would you touch? Would you reveal your strength and your glory in those that need a special touch today? So Father, we celebrate our mothers and we thank you for them. In the beautiful, powerful name of Jesus, amen. Once again, thank you, moms. Okay, if you would, let's stand together and we're going to continue in worship.